If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Right. So imagine if instead of spending, 10 years of just being a wandering generality and just networking with everybody and anybody, I went and I built my network of specific people who everyone in my book, everyone in my network had extra income, wanted to invest, wanted to create passive income for themselves, but didn't have the time to do it. Imagine if I had 100 people like that in my network, and all I had to do is present these people with opportunities. What could I do?
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Nitsan is an active real estate investor in multifamily value-add properties and single-family. He has a hotel and glamping resort in his portfolio as well. He's a residential and commercial real estate broker and has traveled the world for over 6 years, host of the Traveling Investor Radio Show, coach, and mentor. Nitsan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. How are you? Appreciate it.
I'm doing great. Glad to have you on. You've got a very diverse background, and I can't wait to jump in. The basic flow of the show, the same questions I ask everybody who comes on. Can you give us a brief overview of where you started, where you are now, and how you got there?
Yeah, sure. So, born and raised in New York to immigrant family. I like to say we spoke two languages at home, English and bad English. Right. My dad always, my dad always wanted me to be an attorney. He said, go study law and then you can do whatever you want. So while in college, I studied a little bit of business law and found that, it just wasn't for me. I didn't have the butt to sit on and read all those books and whatnot. But he was also the one that got me started in real estate. I remember when I was a little kid, he used to kind of joke around, but he used to tell me, that there's two types of people in this world, those that pay rent and those that collect. And, you want to make sure that you collect rent all the time, right? He used to also tell me that, the richest person in the world is someone who has a piece of land free and clear, that they own it free and clear, and they can do with it whatever they want. You can live on it. You can rent it out. You can build on it. There's multiple ways to make money from it and to earn from it. So, he was, my parents were kind of my role models, very hardworking. They didn't let education or the lack of education stand in their way from doing what they wanted to do. He had a big why. He had a big, purpose in life, and so did my mother. And they were kind of the ones that, just showed me the way to do things and how to do it. And when my father passed away, when I was 25 years old, I kind of threw me for a loop. I started drinking a lot and, really doing, not good things to my body and to my soul. And then at the age of 27, I kind of wrapped up and moved from New York, moved to Israel, back to Israel. And I was there for about a year on the beach, watching the sun go up and sun go down, and then went traveling for the next 6 years. It kind of just happened. I never really intended on picking up my bags and going and being a nomad. But that's kind of what the universe had intended for me and, what life had in store for me. So I did that. And I traveled all around the world for many years, learning, the good things, the bad things, watching successful people, watching poor people, just really understanding who I am and what life was about and what I wanted to do and with my life. And then during that time, I met my wife. We settled back in Israel. I did some real estate in Israel. I had the first raw vegan restaurant in Israel. And then in 2009, during the crash, we moved to Florida. And I started my business back up again, getting back into real estate full time, flipping houses, renovating, renting, doing all that. And then I saw the light at the end of the tunnel. I saw the tunnel, where it was ending, all the foreclosures, all that low hanging fruit. More people were jumping on the bandwagon and wanting to get into real estate, and prices just kept creeping up and up and up. And I realized that I wasn't, every time I sold a house, that was it. I wasn't making any more money until I found another house, renovated it, flipped it, sold it, closed on it. And, thank God my father instilled in my mind, rental income, passive income, and we, growing up in that industry, you know, understanding that concept, I said, okay, let me go out and look for rental properties, right? You know, then I got some single family rentals, and I realized quickly that, you know, if the roof gave out, then there goes my entire year's profit. So I wanted to scale. I wanted to go bigger. I knew about commercial, about office properties, but I didn't know about, you know, multifamily and rentals and things of that nature. So I went and did, you know, what anybody else did. I found someone who was doing what I wanted to do and had the results that I wanted. And I just started copying them and learning from them and doing what they did. And that kind of led me, you know, one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, and, you know, started buying multifamily, partnering up with people. And that's how I ended up here today.
Wow. Wow. That's an exciting story. There's a lot of moving pieces there, and I wish we had time to get into each of them. I guess let's talk about the fun parts first. You're traveling. Did you just have a nest egg saved and then you just funded yourself traveling, or how did you fund your travels for 6 years?
So leaving New York, I sold my furniture and everything. So I had my ticket and, you know, some money. So when I moved back to Israel, I was living off of that, which wasn't a lot.
Right.
But, you know, then when I was in Israel, I was doing odd jobs. You know, I was working at a bar. I was working, with some other people, just doing, you know, construction, renovation, you know, moving, whatever I could get my hands on.
Sure.
But I found out that I wasn't really happy. And then I started learning Reiki, which was energy healing.
Okay.
And then through that, I went and I started learning massage therapy. And then traveling, I learned how to make jewelry. So as I was traveling, that's kind of how I was making my money. I didn't have a nest egg. I actually had no money coming in. I had no passive income. I had nothing. So it was just basically, if I needed money that day, I would go and do a couple of massage therapies. I would do some Reiki, make some jewelry, go to the market, sell it, do whatever I needed to do to get some money that day. And if I knew I needed a plane ticket, I would save up. And that's how I was traveling, you know, moving from place to place, just picking up different skill sets.
That's amazing. I mean, that takes a special tolerance for uncertainty that, you know, I respect. I just don't, I mean, I consider myself an avid traveler, but I don't have that. Like I have to really know where the next year and a half of potential revenue is coming from. So good for you for embracing that and just going for it. That's really cool. So you came to the States, you obviously had already had the, you know, a background in real estate, and you came here and you opened your real estate shop, and you said you obviously started in single family, which the transition most people make, single family, and then they figure out they can really scale up bigger in multifamily and other assets. Is multifamily, I think we read through this, multifamily isn't the only thing you own currently though.
Right, it's not. It's my core business, but you know, you got to be open to other opportunities. You got to be open to looking into understanding them, right? And with that also, you have to learn that business aspect as well. So yeah, so I had, you know, as we mentioned, you're in Memphis. I have a hotel in Memphis. I have a glamping resort outside of Charlotte, North Carolina as well, you know, but it's, you know, I'm also, I was doing my live radio shows, you know, so you got to be open to other opportunities when they come knocking at your door, right? But my core business is multifamily, is apartment complexes.
Okay. How do you take your core business and not get distracted with the other things that aren't necessarily, you know, if they're not key business items, they don't necessarily get the all the systems and processes maybe that your fundamental core business does. So how do you keep those from becoming a distraction from what your core business is?
You got to have a good team. It's all about the team, right? You got to have people that are working with you that are knowledgeable in that industry, in that business, right? So for example, like a hotel or even a glamping resort, right? The basics are the same, right? You want to buy low, you want to add value to it, right? You want to cash flow it, flow it for a while, get that value up. And then if you want to sell, you have the opportunity to sell. It's the little details within that business that you have to have the right team. So for example, you know, on my glamping and in the hotel, we have a great property manager or general manager, I should say, right? So in our hotel, we have a general manager who knows the industry in and out. He's been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows everybody in Memphis. He knows all the different OTAs and how to use them and how to generate income and how to bring people in and service and all that. So you got to have the right people on your team that can help you move forward, right? It's not about me, right? If I'm the sharpest tool in the toolbox, we're in trouble.
Right. You know? Understood.
So So, you know, and that's one thing that I learned, right? I studied in college, but I never graduated college, right? And I saw from my parents and I saw from other people that, you know, it's not the formal education that makes you successful, right? It's the drive, it's the motivation, it's the dedication, it's the commitment that you have to it, it's the focus, right? And I understood that, you know what, all being that I'm not that smart in certain areas, I do have certain skill sets and talents. What I found very early on was that I needed to bring people onto my team. I needed people who could complement my skill sets, right? And learning how to delegate to other people and just kind of managing people is super important in this kind of, you know, in our business or in any other business, right? It's you know, Henry Ford said it best, right? He goes, I don't need to know everything about building cars. I don't need to know everything about accounting. He goes, if I push the red button, my accountant comes in. If I push the green button, my mechanic, my car engineer comes in and we talk about that, right? I just need to understand that they know what they're doing, that they're doing it right, and we need to manage the people doing it. And that's kind of what I'm doing.
Right. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, and I applaud you for that. That's admirable. I think one of the things that we commonly hear is that people get stuck because while we want to press the red button and have the person come in, we still have to have that fundamental understanding of what that person does and have KPIs, you know, key performance indicators that say this person is actually doing their job.
Correct.
How did you figure those metrics out if you necessarily didn't, you know, because you got to hire somebody smarter than you? How did you figure out what those metrics are and then hold them accountable to those?
Okay. And again, that's, you know, picking the right people, right? So you kind of look at the different, you know, for a hotel, for example, right? You look at the different industries, you look at you talk to people, right? Before we bought the hotel, my partner and I, we went and we kind of took a weekend and listened to someone who was teaching, right? So you have people that teach how to flip houses. You know, you have people who are teaching how to flip land, how to flip storage units, how to flip apartment complexes. There are people out there teaching you how to buy and manage and run hotels. So we took a weekend course with someone so that we could understand what we're doing. Now, we didn't do a deep dive, but we kind of got a nice overall picture of understanding what the KPIs are, right? What you need to do and so forth, right? And you gotta, you know, you gotta make decisions quickly, right? So we went through several different property management companies in the beginning.
Oh, wow.
Because we found out that they weren't aligning themselves with what we were seeing and what we thought was the business plan. They were doing what they wanted to do. And quickly we found out that they weren't the right fit for us. So we had to quickly, you know, cut our ties with them so that we can get to the right management company, the right person, whatever it is, so that, you know, we have the right mindset and we can see ourselves walking together. So you got to learn, right? You got to educate yourself. It's all about education, right? And you can have your core business and, you know, and, you know, people have their core businesses and people have their side hustles as well. How do you get your side hustle to perform is by educating yourself, right? Mm. You may not have 40 hours a week to educate yourself on your side hustle, but maybe, you know, an hour a day, okay, or half hour a day or whatever it is. You know, you just got to educate yourself, right? Find people that have the success in what you want to do and figure out what they're doing and what their KPIs are and what they're doing and kind of mimic that into your business. And,
right.
And, you know, that's how you got to go about doing that.
Right. No, that's absolutely great. I'm curious, when you said that your property managers, because each asset class, you know, if you have property management, has different, again, going back to the KPIs in alignment of interest, it's going to vary slightly. So what we're saying, because I don't talk to a lot of people that own hotels on this show, I'm super curious, in what ways can a property manager not be aligned with you in the hotel industry?
So for example, when we bought the hotel, okay, the hotel was dilapidated, right? And that's why we bought it for a really good price. I mean, when you walked into the lobby, if you looked up, there was just water pouring down from the ceiling, right? Because the roofs were sponge. There was mold. There were sheets of mold growing on the fourth floor in some of the rooms. We actually literally had to build a wall in the hallway so that people wouldn't enter that section of the hotel, right? So when you have that type of asset and you have a property management company that says, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to charge $100 a night for your rooms. And we're like, no one's going to pay that.
Right.
Because no one's going to, you know, we're not at that level yet. What we need to do is we need to generate income for the property, right? Close off whatever is no good, make whatever is good better, right, and start getting what we call beds and heads, or heads and beds, I should say, right? Heads and beds. And they said, well, you know what, let's charge $100 a night or whatever that price was, and let's bring people in. And we said, but that, look, it doesn't work. We're not getting reservations. Let's drop it down, you know, let's say to $50 a night, whatever the number was, right? And let's just get, you know, people to come in. Once we start generating, and we can start generating good reviews, and we can start generating income, then we can take it up. So we didn't see eye to eye in that. And the hotel was empty, and we had a mortgage payment to pay, and we had bills to pay. So they, you know, we weren't in line with them. So we said, okay, you know what? We're obviously not working well together.
Sure.
So let's move on, right? You're good for different types of assets. And when we buy those types of assets, we'll call you to manage that. But we need somebody who understands what we need to do, what needs to happen. And what needs to happen is we need to generate income.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So let's lower the price. Let's bring people in. Let's get the reviews up so that we can raise the income. We can renovate the place and we can make it better. So that's kind of, you know, how you aren't in line. And the same thing with multifamily, right? If your property management company is just looking to put people in the units, right, and just occupy them and not worry about, you know, how much income do they generate? Do they have good credit, bad credit? Are they criminals? Are they, you know, whatever? And they're just bringing people in and you're going, you know, occupancy is not the most important thing. It's physical occupancy. It's economic occupancy, right? Because if you're 100% occupied, but only 50% are paying, it's not doing you any good to have 100% occupancy.
Right, right. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. How long did it take that hotel to actually perform the way you wanted it to?
A couple of years.
Okay.
A couple of years. You know, we bought it under a master lease option, meaning that we bought it from the owner, but we rented it, right? So we took it over. It was like a triple net lease. We ran it. And then once we got it up to a certain point, right after 3 years, then we refinanced him out. We put in a lender. Okay. And we started working with that lender, the short-term bridge loan. And now we're looking to either sell the property or refinance it and get them out and put a lower interest debt on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How have you gone about funding your projects? Is this, I mean, do you syndicate deals? Do you raise, you know, do you joint venture? How do you do that?
Yeah, so we syndicate. You know, most of our multifamilies, all of the multifamilies are syndications. The hotel is actually just owned by my business partner and myself, and we have, you know, one or two smaller investors, but the majority is my business partner and I.
Gotcha. 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 And is that the way you really grew your portfolio, I guess, early on, or you know, what did that look
like? It was through syndications. It was through syndications. You know, again, you know, it was, you know, it's just like I was mentioning about the team, right? For anybody who wants to get started in multifamily, it's great that you've done storage or that you flip land or that you've done single family. That's wonderful, right? You understand real estate. You understand value add, right? You understand the concept, but that is not going to get you, you know, in the multifamily game, right? You need to have a team. You need to have people who are experienced on your team so they can help you get the loan. They can help you raise the money. So, you know, when we started out multifamily, we teamed up with other people that were already doing it. We were part of their team. We got the experience. We got the knowledge. And then we broke off and we went on our own and we started syndicating and doing that. And what we're doing also, you know, kind of paying it forward is we're helping other people who are getting started in the business as well, who go out and build those relationships in the markets that they want to be in, right? And if we're compatible in that same market, then they come to us and they say, look, I've worked with this broker for over a year and, you know, they sent me this pocket listing and I think it's great. I underwrote it. You mind helping me out? And let's do it together. So then we'll bring them onto the team and we'll take it over and we'll help them achieve success through our success and, you know, just help them grow as well.
Right. And that's a very win-win scenario for a lot of people. And that's right. certainly a very viable way to scale early on is mm-hmm. to bring on experienced team members such as yourself. So that's really cool. I want to talk about the glamping resort too. And I'm sorry if I'm just talking about the high level fun things that are discussed. So forgive me if we're going down that trail. You don't want to go there.
That's fine.
But how in the world did you, one, hear about a glamping resort for sale, and then two, say yes, that's a good investment, and then three, execute it?
Okay. So one, how did we hear about it? I was at a real estate conference, and there was a like a Shark Tank for real estate investors, right? So you had sponsors and whatnot up on the stage. I was one of the sponsors, one of the people, and somebody came up and said, listen, I have this piece of land. It's got 120 boat slip marina. It's 14 acres of land. It's got its private owned beach. It's got a mobile home park attached to it. And, you know, we can make it like this and like this and like this. And this is the price. The price was very cheap, right? Wow. So that's the first thing, right? You're looking at, okay, what are we paying for it? Is there value to it? What are the different exit strategies that we can have? Can we divide the land and build houses on it? What can we do to it? So one of the exit strategies was to remove the mobile home campsite where people in these mobile homes are paying $400 a month, right, for the site, which is prime location because it's overlooking the lake. It's in the woods. It's got its own little private beach. So you have to kind of be able to be forward thinking and right and see the and have vision. Future vision to be able to see what it would look like. And we said, well, you know, worst case scenario, we could always just sell it for the land and to a developer, and a developer can come and do whatever they want with it. We can also do what we want to do and, you know, build it up nicely and make it into a private resort. It has 120 boat slip marina attached to it. So it has a private pool. So it had all the makings for a nice resort, and it's located in one of the richest zip codes in Charlotte. Off of Lake Wylie. So I said, okay, let's do that. So we built together this business plan, and then we just went and, you know, it's just step by step. What needs to be done next? What needs to be done next? What has to be done? And we raised capital again through our syndication. We brought in partners, and we slowly did, you know, okay, we got to fix the road. Let's fix the road. We got to get permits from the city. We got permits from the city. Let's bring in the little tiny cabins. We brought the tiny cabins. And it's becoming a really beautiful place. Now we're expanding it, and it's becoming sort of like one of those retreat places where you can go and you can get your colonics and your massage therapies and, you know, holistic natural remedies and meditation classes and all that, because it's really set up beautifully for that kind of industry as well. So we're bringing that into it now as part of the glamping resort as well. So it's pretty awesome.
That is really cool. That is really cool. I love the creativity. I think those projects are fun because you really, you know, as opposed to just, you know, maybe a value add multifamily deal where you, you know, do the value add and put more tenants in, you get to really use your creative side of your brain. So that's pretty fun. Let's, before we get into the final four, I've got one last question, which is, what are some things that you would have done differently in your real estate career that maybe would have sped your timeline up a bit?
So when I was getting started in multifamily, so when I came back to the States in 2009, you know, I'm from New York City originally. So all my contacts and everybody I knew was from New York. I'd been out of the country for about 15 years. Mm. So, you know, my business network just kind of diminished, right? I didn't have anybody. So when I moved back to Florida and I started learning multifamily, you know, what do they tell you? You know, network, go out and network with people, you know, grab business cards, you know, and you know, just do that. So I went and I was networking like crazy. I actually would even send my wife out to network for me, right? And bring business cards back and do all that kind of stuff. And I wasted a lot of time doing that because I didn't know how to build those relationships. I didn't know what I was really looking for. I was just getting business cards. And I have a whole box of business cards sitting in my office right over here. What I would have liked early on is for someone to tell me, create the avatar of who you're looking to meet. Mm. Go out and find those specific people, right? And in my notepad here in front of me, I've created my avatars, right? I have my 45-year-old architect who's married with two kids, and he's a philanthropist, and he likes to travel and likes to do this, and his kids are so-and-so, and his wife does this. And then I have my other avatar and you know, she's Stacy, and she's a 47-year-old high-powered attorney with three kids. Her parents live at home with her, right? And what is she looking for? And what does she want? And what is she doing? Because when you're out there and you're just being, you know, a wandering, like Zig Ziglar says, a wandering generality, you're just wandering, just looking around. But you have to be what we call a meaningful specific. Right? You got to be very meaningful, very specific, very niche in everything that you're doing, right? So if somebody would have told me, go out and create those avatars first, go out and really understand who it is that you're looking for. Who is your investor? What are they looking for? Are they a Coca-Cola investor? Are they a Bitcoin investor, right? Are they a conservative, aggressive? What are they looking for? What are their fears? What are their passions? What are their desires? What are they looking to accomplish in life, right? Write it down. Be specific. Make all your marketing targeted to these people. When you're networking, go to these specific places where these people hang out and network and incorporate yourself into that network of people so that you can start really targeting, because then you'll be able to really grow your business exponentially and that much faster as well, because you're targeting your audience. I'm not just going out there and looking to, you know, meet with 45 realtors. Well, you know, that's great, but what is that going to do for me, right? You know, I need people who have income, who don't have time, who have money in the bank, who want to start investing and make their money work for them, but don't have the time to go out there and educate themselves. Well, let me connect with them, show them that I'm the expert, build a commonality with them, build a relationship with them. And when I have an opportunity to present, I can just present them with an opportunity. I don't have to beg.
Right.
Right. So imagine if instead of spending, you know, 10 years of just being a wandering generality and just networking with everybody and anybody, I went and I built my network of specific people who everyone in my book, everyone in my network had extra income, wanted to invest, wanted to create passive income for themselves, but didn't have the time to do it. Imagine if I had 100 people like that in my network and all I had to do is present these people with opportunities. What could I do?
Right.
So that kind of would have taken, you know, that kind of would have propelled me a lot further, faster.
That's great. Yeah, that's a solid piece of advice. I really appreciate that. Let's jump here into the final four. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Educate yourself. Find somebody who has what you want. Do what they did, and you'll get what they got.
That's easy. I like that. That's very straightforward. What is one thing you are currently doing to stay on top of your game?
I am constantly networking with other like-minded individuals. I'm looking to see what other more successful investors, multifamily investors, are doing. And I'm not copying them, but I'm learning from them. I'm going, wow, you know what? I could take that and tweak it a little bit more. Oh, you know what? I like that approach, right? Let me see how I can, you know, incorporate that into what I'm doing, right? I'm also, you know, just going out there and taking the bull by the horns myself and doing things, even the things that I'm uncomfortable, or I think, you know what? I'm not really good at that. Well, if I'm not really good at that, let me do it.
Right. Right. That's great. When it comes to giving back, what is one thing you are doing to make the world a better place?
So up until recently, I was part of the Rotary International organization, which was a philanthropic organization. I then moved away from that organization, but I constantly give back to the community. My organization, the Traveling Investor, which is the logo that you see behind me, which is my mentoring and coaching, 10% of any proceeds that I get, I donate to different organizations and different charities. I teach my daughters to give back as well. So my daughter on Saturdays, she goes out and she feeds, you know, stray animals. And at the park that we have over here, there's a woman who does that. So she's incorporating with that. So yeah, that's what we do.
That's cool. That's very cool. Nitsan, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Sure. So you can email me, right? My email is nizan@investwithcip.com. They can call me. My number is 561-212-7247. You can check me out. I have two websites. My mentoring coaching website is www.traveling-investor.com. And if you want to check out my portfolio and who we are and what we do and how we do that in commercial real estate, that's www.investwithcip.com. And that stands for Cornerstone Investment Partners.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for your time today. Certainly appreciate it.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.